Our reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev.
Amen. Join our hearts together in prayer. Loving God, as we prepare now to hear your word preached and consider your call to Abraham, we are so grateful for your faithfulness through the generations. O God, just as you called Abraham to leave behind all that was familiar and go forward in faith, help us to see that you continue to call your people today. We remember how Abraham stepped out in obedience, not knowing where he was going, but, O God, trusting in your promise. Eternal God, as we study these passages now, would you open our understanding? Would you help us to see how Abraham's journey of faith speaks to our own walk with you? And Holy Spirit, would you light up these words and make them alive for our souls today? All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate fulfillment of your promises to Abraham. Amen. Imagine getting a phone call from someone that would change your life forever. A call that would mean you had to leave everything you knew behind, your home, your family, your comfort zone, and you had to step right into the unknown. That's exactly what happened to Abraham. Though his call was not through a phone, because phones obviously weren't invented then, but this call came directly from God. In Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" So this morning, as we continue our preaching series on when God calls, we did Moses last week and Abraham this week. We are now going to look at this crucial moment in history. A moment that wasn't just going to change one man's life, but the entire course of human history. And you know, to truly understand the importance of God's call to Abraham, or Abram, as he was known here — God did not change his name until Genesis chapter 17, but we need to understand the world that Abraham lived in. The ancient world of Abraham was actually not that different from ours in many ways. It was a world of chaos and confusion. We can relate to that, can't we? A world of chaos and confusion where people ran after their own ambitions. It was in this context that God chose to call one man to begin a whole brand new story of redemption. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is modern-day Iraq. And archaeological discoveries have actually shown that Ur was a sophisticated city with really advanced architecture and education. So Abraham would have been part of an advanced civilization, and no doubt he would have had a good life, a comfortable existence, and probably a well-respected place in society. Yet God called him to leave all of that behind. And this radical nature of God's call to Abraham, it cannot be stressed enough. In our modern world, we may not fully understand how dramatic this was. In Abraham's time, leaving your family and your homeland meant leaving your security, your inheritance, your social standing, and your very identity. It would be like God asking us today to delete all of our social media, empty our bank accounts, leave our jobs, say goodbye to our family, and move to a country that we've never even seen before, all without Google Maps or any way to stay in touch with those that we'd left behind. Just think about what Abraham had to leave behind. The familiar surroundings and culture that he'd known his entire life, his family's protection and support, maybe his established business connections, his reputation, his social status, and every comfort and security that he'd ever known. And for what? For a promise that seemed impossible to fulfill, given to him by a God that his neighbours probably didn't even acknowledge. But God didn't just issue a command. He attached amazing promises to it. God promised Abraham descendants who had become a great nation, even though he and his wife Sarah were childless and well past childbearing age. He promised to make Abraham's name great and famous, though he'll be leaving behind everything that gave him his status and identity. And God also promised that through Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And the amazing thing was that Abraham actually had the faith to do what God was asking him. I'm not sure I could have that much faith. Abraham actually had the faith to do what God was asking him. Phenomenal. The writer of Hebrews tells us this when he writes in chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. Says this: it was faith that made Abraham obey God when God called him out to a different country which God had promised to give him. He left his country without knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise from God. Abraham was waiting for the city which God had designed and built, the city with permanent foundations. And looking at God's promise of descendants, we see something much greater than just the promise of children. This was about establishing a people through whom God would work in history. And most amazing of all was God's promise that through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. And this promise found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, Abraham's descendant, through whom salvation has come to every nation, tribe, and tongue. When we gather here this morning at Craig Hill, we ourselves are living proof of this promise. We are part of this spiritual journey that began with one man's leap of faith. What is most incredible about this story is verse 4 says, "So Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him." Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. That's phenomenal, because it's Abraham's response there. There's no argument, there's no bargaining, there's no list of excuses. We heard last week all the excuses Moses gave to God when he was getting called. Abraham, no excuses. He simply obeyed. And you know, this is what faith looks like. Someone once told me that faith is not the absence of questions or doubt, but faith is about moving forward despite our many questions and our many doubts. Abraham could not see the whole path ahead of him, but he was able to just take that first step. He couldn't see how God would fulfill his promises, but he trusted in the one who was making these promises. And you know, the challenges that Abraham faced were massive. At 75 years old, an age when most people hopefully are well into retirement, God called him to begin a new adventure. His wife Sarah was barren, so how could he father a nation? He had no map or travel guide to show him the way. and he would face many cultural barriers as a stranger in strange lands. And, you know, really a lot of physical challenges at a time when travel would have been very dangerous. Yet despite all of these obstacles, Abraham chose to trust and obey. And as we follow Abraham's journey through the land of Canaan, right through the land of Canaan, we see something really lovely happening. It says that when he moved through the land, he was building altars and calling on the name of the Lord. Each altar was a moment of worship and a renewal of trust. These weren't just piles of stones. They were monuments to faith and markers of a journey with God. Then we read later on, when Abraham reached Shechem, God appeared to him and renewed his promise. And Abraham's response again was to build an altar. That was a visible expression of gratitude for God's faithfulness of bringing them safely to the land. Later, he then built another altar and called on God's name. And you know, these altars should remind us that worship wasn't just a one-time event for Abraham. It was very much part of his life, part of his journey with God. And you know, notice something really important about Abraham's life in the promised land. Even after arriving in Canaan, he lived as a nomad, dwelling in tents. Abraham never built a permanent house. Why? Because Abraham understood that this earthly journey was not his final destination. We hear that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, that Abraham was looking forward to the city which God has designed and built, the city with permanent foundations. Abraham understood that responding to God's call meant joining a journey that would lead way beyond this physical world to an eternal dwelling place. And you know, this is the heart of the gospel, the good news that we celebrate today, that we too are destined for an eternal dwelling place. You see, Abraham's story isn't just about one man's faith journey. It points us to Jesus Christ, the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises to bless all nations. Where Abraham believed God's promise, it was credited to him as righteousness, Jesus lived the perfect life of obedience that none of us, absolutely none of us, could live. Where Abraham was called to journey in faith, Jesus journeyed. He journeyed all the way to the cross, bearing the punishment for our sins, so that we might be forgiven and brought in to God's family. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, God has opened the way for everyone, regardless of background or past failures, to become part of Abraham's spiritual family through faith in Christ. We spoke about that last week, past failures that sometimes hold us back. Moses felt that a lot when we found out about that last week. But how does this all apply to us today here at Craig Hill Church as people who serve the same God who called Abraham? Well, I want to remind us all this morning that God is still in the business of calling people, just as he called Abraham. He may not ask us to leave everything we know and move to another country, although he might actually ask us to do that. But God is calling each of us to a journey, a very different journey of faith. Maybe he's calling us to start a new ministry, or reach out to that difficult neighbour or family member, or to change careers, or to forgive someone who has hurt us very deeply. I know that's not easy, I know it's not. Maybe he's asking us to share our faith with a friend, or someone we know who desperately needs a bit of hope. The call might be to step into a leadership role, or just to keep upholding others in prayer. What a precious role that is in ministry, upholding others in prayer. The amount of people that I visit who are sadly housebound and they don't get out, and they feel really guilty about not being to church on a Sunday morning. It's really sad. And sometimes they actually feel, I get the impression they feel they're not even worthy of a visit from the minister. And that's just wrong. And you know, what I always tell them is, you're at the best stage in your ministry now. Why? Because you can pray. You can pray for the work, you can pray for the minister, you can pray for the work of the church. What a tremendous opportunity you have to pray, and it usually cheers them up. And I hope when I leave they feel a bit better. But whatever God's call might be, it will probably need us to leave something behind. It might be a comfort zone. What does it say? Life begins just outside the comfort zone, or the edge of the comfort zone. Or it might be to leave our carefully laid plans. Plans. What does it always say? How do you make God laugh? Tell him your plans. My goodness, we know that, don't we? But remember, God's call always comes with promises. Just as he promised to bless Abraham, God promises to be with us and work all things for the good for those who love him. So this morning, I wonder, what is God calling us to do? What is our art of the Chaldeans, which is the comfortable place that he might be asking us to leave? What's our promised land, the place of blessing that he really wants us to enter? And the beautiful truth is that God never, ever calls us to journey alone. Just as he walked with Abraham every single step of the way, he promises to be with us too. Jesus' final words in Matthew's gospel, we heard them earlier, were, "I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the promise that we can hold on to as we step out in faith, remembering that every great movement of God in history began with one person saying yes to God's call. So let us make today the day when we either start that journey or we recommit to continuing on in that journey. And may we be ready to say yes to whatever God is calling us to do, knowing that it is only in his strength that we can do anything at all. Amen. Let us again join together in prayer.